I'm such an idiot.
Why?
So I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, man, these headphones are making my neck really hot.
You have a heating pad on your neck.
I know.
And not just a heating pad, but it looks like something that you stole from the costuming department of Game of Thrones.
When I told my mom about this one, I was like all impressed with this, how cool it is. I feel like I'm wearing like a stole.
Yeah, but you know what? If you were head of the marketing department, you shouldn't ever say that the heating pad is really cool.
Man, that's so smart, Rob.
Yeah, you look like you're in a costume drama. I like the things that are like a dead fox and the fox that's biting his own tail and that's how it stays on.
See, I think that's how they came up with the idea for this, because I told you, like, it has magnets.
It does.
At the front, which would be like the little the little fox, like, biting its own tail.
Exactly. And right. Linus does
that's
that.
What I should do. I should go, like, I could like, sew a little something.
Like what?
Like a little fox head and a little fox tail, and then...
A stuffed animal, as Robert used to call them? Animals?
A stuffed animal.
Yeah, you know what you could put on there? Is an action figure. What if instead of a fox biting his own tail, it was Elvis holding his own feet? It wouldn't have to be Elvis. We could get you something else, like a One Direction something. They're a hot band. The kids love them, and I think maybe we could find a One Direction action figure.
What is it? Elastigirl from The Incredibles? I could do her like all the way around, so she actually could be holding her own feet.
Three times, probably. She's very stretchy.
Right.
Extraordinarily limber.
Extraordinarily so.
Or you could kick it old school and do Stretch Armstrong.
Do you have some music?
I do. For what? Oh, you want to start the show?
I thought we should start the show.
We can do that.
All right. Are you sure?
The show starts with elements, not music.
Okay.
So when you said,
can you push some buttons?
I can do that. But when you just turned to me and you said, do you have some music? And I'm like, do I have music? Here's some music. This is Gangsta's Paradise.
I've heard it a couple times.
Yeah. Or maybe you want to rock with the Spice Girls. Here they come, running down the hall. They'll laugh. Yo, I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want. Don't tell me what you want, what you really, really want. I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want. Maybe you'd like to go to my 8th birthday, which, as you know, took place in 1979.
8 in 1979.
I was 8 in 1979.
Oh, yeah, I guess you would have been. Yeah.
Don't challenge me.
Sorry.
Hey, you know what? I don't like music from the 90s, but... You asked if I had music, and I had it.
I have no doubt.
Were they a 90s band?
Yeah, later 90s.
Hmm. She's still hot.
Yeah.
Yeah, she is. And Carrie's quite fond of the husband.
Mm-hmm. Gavin Rossdale?
Yes.
Bush, another 90s band.
Hey, yeah. And a 90s president for two years.
I'll take the band.
All right, very good. I'll take the Bush. What? All right, shall we begin?
Let's do it.
We start with elements and they go a little something like this.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Hey there, this is Katie with a very hateful thought of the day. I hate pushy bartenders. We've all been at a bar when all of a sudden the bartender is your new BFF. Those dreadful words of, here, have a shot of Jack, it's on me. You may think you're being nice, but the only thing at the bottom of that glass is a trip to the dark side and a solid chance I can never return to your establishment. If I look like I may need a free shot, then call me a plastic surgeon, but certainly don't put a brown liquor in front of me. I hate favors that aren't really favors, and you, I hate you too.
Favors that aren't really favors.
Oh, you know what I'm talking about.
I do.
Presents that aren't really presents.
Exactly.
Like when you get your wife a washing machine.
Or if Robert were to give me a basketball.
Right.
Yeah, same thing. You know who is a great gift giver?
Dude.
That's the guy.
Cake and cookies. Rob and Katie. It's the Rob and Katie Show.
Four dozen, Katie. Show number 48. Yes. Show number 48. It's a weekly podcast. It's the Cake and the Cookies, the Rob and Katie Show, a weekly podcast to show by way of comparison that your life isn't that bad. Our thanks, as always, to Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and everybody at Moore Broadcasting, particularly Matthew Bloom.
Don't Tony Boom Boom.
Love him a lot. He's a good guy and a hell of a dancer. You can check us out on Facebook. I don't know. At facebook.com/Rob and Katie.
Stars.
And you know what? I am not going to mention Twitter because we just don't do it.
No, I do.
You do your own personal Twitter.
Yeah.
And that's...
I would love for people to follow me, but I don't know what my Twitter handle is.
You do... Because when you do Twitter, you do all the sexy stuff because it's not associated with the show. It's
that
just
is so your, not true.
It's just all of your sexy posts.
No. There's probably a lot more dogs on that than there are.
Yeah.
I don't want to gum up everyone's Facebook with my dog posts. Hold on. I can tell you what my Twitter handle is.
Good.
Hold on. It is... Very slow connection.
That well, you know what? While you're doing that, you should remember.
All I have is the blue bird, or the white bird in the blue background.
You can find us on iTunes. Just search More Broadcasting, and there you'll find the Mike O'Mara Show, Tony Perkins Show featuring Gary Stein, Tech 411, Rob and Joe, It's Mickey, and the apparently no longer being recorded O'MaraCast, as he's on a 2-month hiatus.
Ooh.
Yeah, because he's building a studio up there or something. Anyway,
okay.
Check it out. But the most important thing is to find the cake and cookies and give us a 5-star review and say something clever. Something clever, please. Did you find your handle?
Yes, my Twitter handle is...
It's not a Twitter handle.
DC Superpowers. All one word.
Because that used to be your name, Powers.
Used to be my name.
That's right. And sometimes it still is.
Not really.
Well, no, for like 10 episodes, you changed your name every week.
I don't know what I'm doing. Because we all had a big talk about it, including Mike, of like, what name should I go by? And we all said I should stick with Powers because that's how people knew me on the Mike O'Mara Show.
And it's a great name.
I mean, it's all right.
No, it's great. Kate Powers. Powers.
Powers.
It's better than Spiewak. And, the Von Herman is it's a mouthful. It's another great name, but it's a mouthful.
Do you think I should have just stuck with my maiden name?
Which one? Forbes?
Forbes.
Forbes also great.
Yeah, I like that one.
Katie Forbes, is that what's going to be from now on?
No, I prefer Katie Forbes Von Herman.
See, I have a Post-it, a corner of a Post-it on my CD player right in front of me.
Is it KFPVH?
It says KPFVH, which is wrong, by the way.
Right.
But it reminds me that if I wanted to refer to you by your full name, I would say Katie Powers Forbes Von Herman. And now I'm realizing that even if we did that, that would be wrong.
It's still wrong. You don't have them in the right order.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take this Post-it off.
You crumble that up, Rob.
It's just a little guy. Look, it's about the size of Hitler's mustache. That's... just the size of it right there.
That is so tiny.
See, right
stick
there.
It on your lip. There you go.
Oh, you see, look, I feel hateful.
You should. You are.
I am. And
Robbie,
you can be too. Thank you for joining us. Let's wind up something that we set the table with last week. You had never seen the show Lancelot Link. And
nope.
That...
Lancelot Link, Secret Gym.
That troubled me greatly. As a matter of fact, I watched 2 or 3 episodes this week.
That's good for you.
It is. It's good for me. It's good for everybody. Now, if you didn't listen last week, shame on you. But just in a nutshell, what Lancelot Link is chimpanzees dressed in human clothes with human voices dubbed in. And they do things like play golf and ski and drive cars. Now, Katie had never seen it. Dan, who not joining us today because he's napping.
He's tired.
He's very tired. He said that he kind of remembers it, and you had no recollection of it at all.
I think like 13 Miller Lights, he kind of remembers just about anything.
Okay, so it was an alcohol-prompted memory.
It sounds familiar.
I think I remember when I was playing for the Yankees. Yeah, I remember that. So you have a rebuttal. Now that you've had, you see, and here it's not fair because we had prepped an entire show last week and we did it. And then I sprung Lancelot Link on you and took like 40 minutes to talk about the monkey show.
Yes, you did. And you're actually kind of doing it right now at the beginning of the show.
You brought up the fact that you wanted to rebut it. So go ahead and rebut.
I'm not watching them.
Ever?
I'm not even going to try.
Now that's hateful.
I'm making a fist, and let me tell you why.
All right.
Until you agree and actually watch Harry Potter, I will have no part of your chimpanzees.
You see, though, here's where it's not fair. Not fair. Not fair. Because
how is that? Do you own them?
Harry Potter?
Yeah.
I have some of the Harry Potter things, yeah.
Right.
I think. For the kids. You know, the kids love it. But Harry Potter is, when you just watch one movie, that's like a 3-hour commitment. You can blow out a Lancelot Link in 20 minutes and you're done.
No, thank you.
If I were to watch the Harry Potters and do all that stuff with Dobby and Harry and Hermione and Ron Weasley, see, I know a little bit about it.
Mm-hmm.
Then you would watch Lancelot Link?
Yes.
Do you think you would give it a fair shake, or would you be ready to hate it?
I would give it a fair shake, but I'm making a fist.
That's your fist.
That's my fist. It's small but mighty. Presley, she thinks someone knocked on the door.
See, what I'm scared of is that you would watch Lancelot Link, and then the show would start out that week with, I hate monkey sitcoms, and you, I hate you too.
Yeah.
So, it seems like...
I hate house elves, but I don't mean that. I love house elves, especially Dobby.
Yes.
He was a free elf.
But, now, spoiler alert, he didn't make it to the last movie, did he?
Rob, we've discussed this, and I will not cry today.
I know, and you're in some pain anyway. You're playing with pain, and I appreciate that.
Thank you. That means you have to do the heavy lifting.
Okay, always do, just by walking around. Now,
I thought you were going to say, like, I wasn't funny or something, and I was like, that is hateful.
Now, question. Before we move on to our next topic, another subject was broached, and I'm curious. Do you think Mike O'Mara is still listening? Because
I
it was revealed.
That he
it was.
To what? You think he's. I was shocked to find out he listened to an episode.
I know. So, now keep in mind.
I feel like no.
The topic, the quote that he gave that proved that he listened, I have to be fair, it came very early in a show. So
I
he
know,
might have
it
listened
was
to
like
just
within
like
the first 5 minutes of the show.
He
so.
Might have just listened to a real little bit of it, and that was enough. But he liked the promo we ran this week, so who knows? And besides, he's driving to Maine. So he needs stuff to listen
to. Well, they drove from South Florida all the way to D.C.
Right.
And now D.C. to Maine.
Right.
So they've had the whole entire East Coast to appreciate the cake and the cookies.
I'm not so sure that it's exactly his cup of tea. But if he's listening, we'd like to say, welcome, Mike. Good to have
you. I like to think that it's you that's not exactly his cup of tea.
Do you think that perhaps that after 20 years of working very closely with me, the bloom is off the rose?
I think it's possible.
I might have been at one point his cup
Your
of tea.
Your wine has turned to vinegar.
It has. The tea, she has gotten cold. The lemon, it has spoiled. He is no longer his cup of
the
tea.
The cake is moldy.
The saucer, she has cracked. This is why I am no longer his cup of tea. So if Mike is listening, we'd like to welcome him. And you know what? If he's listening, Carla's listening because they're in the same car. So hi to Carla.
Hi, Carla.
And hi to Michael. And Michael's favorite word, boat. Boat, 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 boat. Okay.
Boat.
Hey, if you knock on the table, will Presley bark again? Nothing. They're outside. How did they get out, though?
They opened the door.
They open the door by themselves?
Yes.
How? Is it a knob or a thing?
It's the handle kind.
They can reach up and do that?
Yeah. And the door, unless you push on it really hard, it doesn't completely latch.
Right.
So one of them will kind of, it's teamwork. One of them will kind of like push at it. And then Judd is a little bit taller, so he'll like reach up and paw at it until it comes
they're
open.
They're smart.
I really don't know that I would give them that much credit.
Because Linus won't even walk through an open door if he thinks he can't fit. I mean, he doesn't, he's not there. See, here's what blows my mind. Your dogs have now mastered a mechanical relationship, they said, if I do this, then this. If I pull down, door opens. Linus doesn't even realize that a door on a hinge is mobile. And if it's almost wide enough for him to go through, he'll stand and stare at it.
But beagles are well-known escape artists.
Of course, Harry Houdini was part beagle, was he not?
Well, yes.
Of course. And so I just, that would upset me if the dog knew how to do that.
I mean, it just means that if we don't want them to go out back, we make sure that we pushed on the door hard enough to get it completely.
But this means the dog revolution is upon us.
No, they're not that smart.
Okay. How about the failed dog revolution?
Okay.
Now,
sure.
You know that one of Big Daddy's friends raised horses, owned horses. Mm-hmm. And one of the horses figured out how to turn the lights on in the stable because he didn't like being in the dark.
And horses are really smart.
And it went back and forth with Mr. and Mrs. Sells blaming each other for leaving the light
you
on.
You gotta turn those lights off, yeah. Margaret.
It was Dottie and Harry. Harry, you didn't turn the lights off. They finally realized it was.
Wait. You be Harry, I'll be Dottie.
Okay. You didn't turn the lights off, Dottie.
Harry, I don't even go out there anymore. I don't turn the lights on. I don't turn the lights off. They're always off.
Honey, electricity doesn't grow on trees, which is true.
Now, Harry.
Dottie.
That's hateful.
And then they realized that the horse Silver was going over, and it was like one of those. It was
hi-ho, Silver!
Exactly. It was a big, like, arena-type barn, and the horse had, like, a row of light switches, and he'd snoot. He'd use his nose to turn the lights on. So this all, meanwhile, Linus doesn't know how to walk through an open door. These are the two extremes of animal intelligence.
Poor guy.
While we're talking dogs, pup date.
Okay.
We need to do a pup date because pup date. You sent me a picture this week of an exhausted Judd.
Oh, he's exhausted.
Why?
Because Presley is happy. Okay, she's not depressly anymore. She is.
This is a total seismic shift.
Truth.
Right.
So she spends her whole day tootling out in the backyard. She wakes up about between 5 and 5:30 in the morning.
Too early.
We make her stay in the bedroom until the sun comes up.
Let's pause this thought.
Yeah.
How was that rule established? That's the line of demarcation? Because still, the sun rises too early. You're not on a dairy farm, you know.
Right. Well, I mean, it's just, I don't know. It still just seems like it's got to be more reasonable than not having any sunshine.
Well, what's
she going to do back there?
She has to go and make sure her yard is still there.
I know. I think she's afraid it's going to disappear.
Now, she is out of her mind happy. All the time now. And do you think she is like overcompensating because she thinks that living in this house is a temporary thing?
I I've been thinking about, and Dan and I have actually talked about it. We're not sure if they think they're on vacation. Bud has settled in and he's like, Pussy, gotta settle down. The lizards are going to be there. The yard is going to be there. This is our home now.
This is where we live.
Right. And Presley's like, guys, hey, hey, guys, hey, hey, let's go. Come on. Let's go check together. Come on, everybody, let's go together. We can do this together. Hey, come on. It's still here.
Yeah.
It's still here.
Now, the only thing I can draw a comparison to is every day when I come home from work, Linus is of the same mind. He's like, oh my God, he came back. I thought you were never coming back, and I didn't know how long I have to wait. And then we go through the whole routine every day. I come into the basement. He runs a lap. He grabs a toy. He comes over. I make him sit down. His tail goes on the carpet.
Do you get the...
No, that's in the morning. That's
okay.
Because now I make him sit and wait. And so his tail is doing like almost like
doing the left and right.
Left and right. Yeah. In the morning when I come out and he's on the bed and I go, hey, buddy. And then it's on the bed. Okay. Even if his eyes are shut, he knows that it's I say, who's a good boy? Sweet boy. Yep. Sweet boy. But then when it's we come home in the afternoon, he's sitting and I go, Linus, stay. And his tail's just going back and forth. And then I say, okay. And he jumps up and I give him kisses and then I let him out to pee. But that's the routine. But every day, it's like I've been gone to Afghanistan for a 3-year tour.
And, And then she's not, I mean, of course she's excited to see us.
Right.
But I think it's more like she thinks the backyard is going to disappear or that we're like on vacation or you know, she's got to make sure it's still there.
Understood. But the thing that's so crazy about it is that Judd, I think probably has realized that you are there for the haul because you're surrounded by your stuff. All your stuff is there. That's your home. When you vacation, you don't bring your books and your hats and your pigs.
No, or their dog beds. Like,
exactly.
But I think the funniest thing about all of it is like Judd has gotten to the point where he's just like, Mom, hide me.
And like, Those two, Judd and Presley, are thick as thieves.
Oh, they love each other so much. But Judd he's tired, man. He's just like, Mom, I'm so tired. And he gets real excited when he wants to go out.
Right.
And play. He absolutely lets you know. And he's like, come on, Presley. And like, I mean, everybody knows. He does this little, he'll walk in a room and walk back out like, Timmy's in the well. Like, he'll do this. Yeah. You know, please follow me.
Right.
Come on. And then I'll go like sit by the door. And he's like, look how good I sit. I sit so good.
He's pulling every trick out of his Judd bag.
Absolutely. And like in the morning when I get up, because he doesn't necessarily go out with Presley. So
But in the past, they would always go out together, right?
Right. But he goes back to bed.
Okay. All right.
He goes outside, does a little business, comes back in and goes back to bed. When I get up, he's like, oh, well, Mom's up. I guess I could get up too. So if I don't necessarily, like if I head towards my office or not towards the backyard.
Right.
He walks behind me and he hurts me. He pokes me in the back of the leg with his knee
so
to get
great.
Me to go where he wants me to.
He's taking he runs the house. He's very.
I think Presley's been running the house lately, and maybe that's why Judd is so beat down.
But he does. These dogs that used to be inseparable, now she goes out and snoots all day.
Yeah.
And he can't do it.
No. In fact, like he'll come and he'll like lay in the corner of my office, and I swear to you, I really do think he's hiding.
That's. To me, it's so funny. Your dogs are so smart that they get to that level that he has to hide.
We found him alone.
Yes.
Like, on the bed alone. Like, Dan, have you seen Judd? And Dan's like, no, I thought he was with you. He's not upstairs? No. Huh. So then, like, we do a sweep of the house, and Judd's like,
and meanwhile, Presley's still going 100 miles an hour.
His little tail is wagging in his sleep. He's running in the backyard when he's asleep. But
well, that he can do. That's virtual exercise. I can do that in my sleep, too. That's
but
fine.
But they've both trimmed down. They both lost, like gotten very, very slim, especially Presley, to the point where Dan and I were talking about it yesterday. We think we might have to increase her food a little bit.
Is she looking that skinny?
Yeah. Yeah, she kind of is.
Wow.
And I feel like,
do I need to call social services on you?
No, I mean, we like practice like sits and you know, lay down, and we do all of that with treats and everything. But I do think with how active she is, we're going to have to supplement somehow.
Either that or she's going to start running with supermodels. Is she smoking again?
She's smoking again.
What a
it's
problem.
True.
I
keep seeing this little like puff coming out from underneath the shed.
She goes under the shed to smoke.
Yeah. Yeah, she thinks I don't know. She thinks I'm not smart enough to figure it out, but I'm like, it smells like cigarettes. And I'm like, you're a hound. You know I can smell this.
She bumps cigarettes off the lizards.
If she's got the tunnel that goes to PetSmart right beside the PetSmart to 7-Eleven.
What tunnel?
I'm pretty like Hogan's Heroes. Remember we talked about this?
Yeah, but you never said there was a tunnel going to PetSmart.
I'm pretty sure she dug a tunnel like Hogan's Heroes to PetSmart.
Last week we had had enough wine that we had her digging a hole, but it was actually going into the commandant's office. I don't think we'd gotten to the level where she was.
I think you just weren't listening to me.
I don't know that anyone was listening last week.
I think she was just digging tunnels all over Savannah looking for PetSmart.
Judd could hide in the tunnel.
Judd can't fit under the house.
He will soon. He'll be able to fit under the shed if he keeps losing weight.
No, I don't think it's a matter of him losing weight. He's just a bigger dog than she is.
Then we need to raise the shed. It's only fair.
Hey, Mom, can you raise the woof?
Mom, can you get the jack out of the car and raise the shed? Come on, Mom.
I just want to see where she's going.
Not fair, Mom.
Not fair, Mom.
Not fair. All right, stick around when we come back.
I want to talk about summer in the city.
Big plans for the summer, and we're going to let you in on them. Maybe you can be a part of them. Do you think anyone's buying this?
Nope.
All right, back after this, it's Cake and Cookies. Can we start?
Sure.
All right, very good. As I recall, we are due up with the George Michael jingle.
George Michael! Watch for music, WFIA.
Perfect.
I know going into, you know, Besame Mucho is the way that we do it, but man, anytime I hear like George Michael in reference to radio, I always think, Chicago!
Someday, I will surprise you.
He's
Cake.
Oh
my God.
She's Cookies. It's Rob and Katie.
Laughing Dude.
Damn it, Rob. Can you play him again? I stepped all over him.
And also, listen carefully because I have a question about it that just occurred to me. All right? In 3, 2.
He's Cake. She's Cookies. It's Rob and Katie.
Is it okay that I'm singular and you're plural? She is Cookies. I am Cake. I am one cake and you are Cookies, multiple.
But that, I mean that, I think it's fine.
Maybe it's an implied cake. Multiple cake.
No, you wouldn't have multiple cake because a cake you cut into pieces. So by nature, sort of a cake is like deer.
You mean expensive?
Like the plurality.
I see. Okay, so, but...
Because you're not just going to sit down. I mean, you might just sit down and eat a whole cake by yourself, but I think...
Do you have a camera in my kitchen?
Well, I do. And the last time I tuned into it, you were sitting in the dark eating a cake.
And crying. Do you think maybe the thing that's holding us back, and the podcast, make no mistake, the podcast is doing fine, but maybe the thing that's holding us back is the name. Maybe the name of the show should be Cakes and Cookies. That sounds British, doesn't it?
It does.
Hello, Cakes and Cookies.
Cakes and Cookies.
Maybe I like it better the same way. Let's keep it the Oi. Same way. We'll keep it the same way all summer long.
Does it bother you? I'm assuming it sounds like it does. Otherwise, you wouldn't have brought it up.
Well, it just occurred to me. I wouldn't classify it as a bother.
Okay. Oh, bother.
Oh, bother. It just occurred to me. But we've been playing Laughing Dude for 48 episodes now, and that's the first time that it's ever really gotten to me. I think, you know what? I think that's a classic case of overreaction right there. Or as the Germans would say, uber reaction.
You have been overreacting quite a lot lately. Now can we talk about this?
Sure. Go ahead.
Rob, I have noticed over the past few months, you seem to have gotten yourself a little bit. How do I put this without making you cry? You've been really emotional.
Okay. You're not going to make me cry. Now, I have cried. I have cried a little bit. And I think I know the phrase you're looking for is a midlife crisis.
Do you think that this might be something that you are approaching?
Well, mathematically speaking, if you were to consult the actuarial tables, my midlife crisis should have happened at about age 24. Because I'm really on the bottom part of the downslide now. As far as a midlife crisis goes, I am not the type to run out and buy a sports car. So maybe it's just me getting emotional. I cry with stuff with the kids and, you know,
You've been ordering a lot of records and twice.
No, that's happened. That doesn't happen a lot. That's happened once or twice. No more than three times. I mean, and you've never done that. You've never ordered something more than once.
No, I pay my bills. You know how we've talked about this,
okay.
Right?
Well, a little bit, I think, yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, merits I get drunk recap. And I pay my bills. And then the next day, I'm like, oh, yeah, like it's somewhere in the back of my head that, oh, I need to pay these bills. And I go in and I pay them. And then I look at my bank account 2 days later and I'm like, why don't I have any money?
You have no money and you have huge credits with the electric bill and everything. You're paid way ahead.
I don't know why I do it. I'm a very responsible drunk.
Yeah, you're over responsible. Don't you have like some sort of, will you pay them online?
Mm-hmm.
So that's not the, you can't like go and consult your checkbook like in the old days.
Well, the times that I've done it, I started doing this a couple years ago. The times that I've done it, it's like I forget that I've done it. It's usually like really late at night. And then by the time the next morning rolls around, it's still kind of in the back of my head. So I think that I need to do it, but it wouldn't have posted yet to my bank account.
I see. So what you need is some sort of big leather-bound ledger.
I bought a whiteboard.
That won't help.
Why?
Because when you're drunk, you're not going to go to the whiteboard and write, I paid $62.80 to the electric. You're going to go to the whiteboard. You're going to write something like boogers. See,
right.
The source
it's
here
totally
is really...
something that is absolutely something I would write
well,
on a whiteboard.
Well, you'll write something silly is what I'm alluding to.
Boogers.
Boogers. The thing is...
Boogers.
The thing is that it's not... a lack of responsibility, it's the drinking and the forgetfulness. Because a lot of times you can do something when you're drunk and when you wake up, you'll say, hey, I have an idea. And you think that you just thought about doing it, but you actually did it. But it's not wasted money. You're just ahead of the game.
But what if I had on my whiteboard like a checklist so I can just check it off?
You're not going to. Do you drink by the whiteboard? How close are you to it?
To it right now?
Well, no, when you drink. Where do you
well,
do most of your drinking?
Here. I just bought it yesterday.
So have you hung it yet?
No.
Where do you do most of your drinking?
It's still in the package.
It's still in its packaging.
Everywhere.
But you have to have a favorite place if you're at home. I mean, I'm not looking for you to plug one of your hot Savannah night spot discotheques.
Right. I really like my office. Okay. I've got it set up. It's like my space in here.
Right.
Not my space.
No, of course not.
It's so outdated.
That is. Pinterest.
So it's my spot in here. So I really do. I like my office. I love sitting outside. We have a couple different seating areas outside.
Uh-huh.
So if it's nice out, I'm sitting outside. But then there's the living room and then the TV room. So if I'm watching and then there's the kitchen. Sometimes I like to have, you know, a beer in the shower.
The world is your drinking spot. You don't have a favorite place.
I don't discriminate.
Well, I'm not looking to say that you're discriminatory. I just like, for example, my favorite place to sit down and have a drink is the far left side of the couch, closest to the TV. So
okay.
I can hear the TV. It's an end seat, so I have the end table. I've got the coffee table in front of me if I need to put something on it. And then usually I have an empty space next to me where I can line up all the remotes and the phone nice and anally. And I have everything I need right there. That's my favorite spot.
Okay, so that changes. Okay, so based on that, you're asking me what's my favorite, like, relaxing, having a drink spot.
Yes, and you are really, really, would you be a Savannahite if you lived in Savannah?
I think we're Savannians.
Well, you're a Savannian because it's your favorite relaxing place. Just like I said, did you see CBS Sunday Morning? You will have to, you know, adopt certain geographical affectations.
Yes.
Good.
So, but based on that sort of description, then yeah. My favorite place to drink would be so we have kind of a wraparound sofa as well.
Right.
And there's one part of it has like a chaise part that sticks out.
Sure.
And I like that because I sit there, I can put my feet up. Usually a pup will join me.
All right. Now, that said,
It's close to the TV.
Will you ever pay bills from the chaise?
Yes, I mean, occasionally I've taken my
your laptop.
My laptop down there.
So then you're going to need to put the whiteboard by the chaise. This took a long time to get there, but this is the point I'm making.
That's where you were going with this whole thing?
Yeah, because if you're going to use it as a checklist, it's got to be where you are when you're drinking.
But I drink in my office, too.
Then you need...
I need whiteboards everywhere.
Everywhere, and somehow you need to hardwire them.
Oh, man.
Maybe you don't need whiteboards. Maybe you need iPads that can talk to each other.
I need to quit drinking.
Or quit paying bills. I think it would probably be easier to quit paying bills.
Probably.
And a lot more effective.
Probably.
Maybe that's your midlife crisis.
Can we get back to your midlife crisis?
I don't know that it's a crisis. I think it's
just... Three-quarter life crisis?
I am coming to a point where... And it has everything to do with the kids getting older, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Julia is going to be a freshman in high school.
Yeah. That's
Robert is going to be in the middle of middle school. He's going to be a seventh grader.
Gosh.
And it really seems to me that it was just moments ago that they were little bitty kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to sound dark or morbid, but... It puts mortality right in front of you because time moves that fast. I'm not focusing on death. I'm just realizing that, wow, things are moving along. In my mind, I still think of myself as like, how old am I, 28, 29? No, Rob, you're 44. And
That's,
I can't even, 44 is old. It's been old for me for a long time. 44 is an older guy, and I'm 44. But still as immature as ever. So That puts it into perspective. And I think as I realize that, I won't say I'm getting more in touch with my feelings, but I will say my feelings are maybe more likely to bubble up to the top.
Right, and it's, you know, in a couple conversations that you and I have had, you've gotten all emotional.
Be fair. I haven't been sobbing, but I've teared up.
Your face... You get the real red cheeks.
Yeah, but that's also the blood pressure medicine.
And occasionally, you know, your eyes fill up a little bit.
Sure.
It's a lot of swallowing.
Yes, it gets to you. If I talk about the kids or if I talk about, family stuff or a particularly touching television program, it'll get to me. And I noticed this.
Name a television program that has gotten to you.
I'm not going
to
mention The Middle. It's fine. It's a fine show.
You and I were texting during a couple episodes in the middle.
It was the season finale. I'll tell you exactly what it was. The season finale.
And I was, oh my God. Dan was like, are you crying? And I was like, I am. Oh. And then I was like, wow, this is a really, I wonder if Rob's watching. And I texted you and you're like, ha.
That got to me, but not as much as the Letterman finale. The Letterman finale beat me up.
I still haven't watched it.
And it's just I've come to terms. Is that
I for that same reason, like I think I have to be in the right headspace, otherwise I'm gonna really.
Well, you'll lose it no matter what. It's crazy. I've come to terms. I've even talked about this on the Mike O'Mara show. As I've gotten older, I've just gotten more emotional, and it's not just crying. Now there's. I do feel that I have never in my life laughed out loud at a greeting card in a public place.
Okay.
Now, there are times that maybe someone has sent me a particularly funny, witty, or appropriate greeting card, and in the comfort of my own home, I might open it and laugh, right?
So is it like your emotions are sort of just bubbling just under the surface, whether it be happy or sad?
Yeah, or ambivalent. I've never been more ambivalent. No, I do. I think
did
it's
that
just,
actually happen, though?
Let me take you to this week. I was at CVS, okay? The CVS in Glover Park, right by.
Oh, the tiny one.
Yeah, that little. And that's the thing about a grocery store. A grocery store is big, right? Expansive and expensive, but expansive. Now, if you go to a drugstore wants to be like a grocery store in certain ways. They have the aisles, they have the carts, but it's intimate because what it is, it's like a 75% replica of a real sized store.
Well, you know, I used to live like right there.
Right. I'm sure you know this store intimately.
I hate that CVS.
Why?
Well, two reasons.
Okay.
Actually, three. Three reasons.
Okay.
Let me just keep. Okay. One.
No one expects the Spanish Inquisition.
They are the meanest pharmacist ever. I used to call them the pharmacy Nazis.
I don't doubt that. I've dealt with them several times when I buy medicine. I don't fill prescriptions
horrible.
There. But when I buy something like a Mucinex D that requires their assistance,
mm-hmm.
they're far from helpful.
No, it's awful.
Right.
Two, it's so tiny, but they still have managed to shove the same amount of stuff
yes.
into that tiny little CVS that they would do if they had twice the floor space.
It is like when you walk down Main Street in Disneyland and it has that forced perspective because the architects know all the tricks.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like it's a million miles long, right? When in
right.
fact, it's like two blocks. I think the Imagineers designed this CVS because
well, they still are. Because that brings me to my third point.
The third and final point.
They constantly change the layout, like move stuff around.
So you can't find what you need.
And I think they do it because it is such a poorly laid out
right.
in such a small space. They're like, well, this would be better over here. No, let's try it over here. Oh, let's move this over here. And nothing is ever in the same spot.
It's like one of those puzzles with the sliding tiles where one tile yeah. is missing. And you're moving it around. And every time you move one tile, you have to move another. And that's how that whole store works. So I'm in there, this perfect 75% replica of a regular size facility. And I'm reading the greeting. I'm reading the greeting cards.
Okay.
And because of the intimate nature
very
of the
small.
Size, there is a woman to the left of me also looking for a card. And a woman to the right of me looking for, I think, a different kind of card. But we're all in the card aisle. Right?
So what kind of card were you?
It was a graduation card for Mike's daughter, Elizabeth, who's graduating high school. She
awesome.
Did this week, and I wanted to get her a little something. And so I look around, and you know, when you're looking at the cards, racks and racks and racks of cards, and there's like, for him, for her, from your stepfather, thought you would do better. You know, all the different categories. Mm-hmm. Sorry it fell off. All of the different things that you can have. Thought it was his baby. So I went and I found the graduation section, and then under it, you know, there are the subcategories. And I went to, I think, humorous, right? And I saw one that had on the cover puppies. And I thought,
oh,
well,
you can't
now,
grow puppies.
A greeting card that's labeled humorous is not going to be humorous. But if it's got puppies, at least it's something. And trust me, I graduated high school. It's not about the card. It's about what you put in the card. It's really just a vehicle for carrying the check. So and I look at the puppy, and they're great. They're three retriever pups, okay? There's
aww.
Like a black one and a blonde one and a chocolate one, and they're that perfect, like maybe 8-9 week age, and their ears are up, and they have talk balloons over them. And one of them says, hey, you did it. And another one says, like, congratulations. And the third talk balloon says, like, good job. So, okay, you know what? Puppies thinking good thoughts. This is a good card. And I opened it up. It said, the lab results are in. And I so truly didn't expect
it to be like funny.
Yeah, I expected it to just be puppies. And you know what? And that's your selling point, right?
Puppies win, but that's a great.
And so there's the great pun in there. And
it
so totally catches me off guard that in this silent, graveyard silent store, I go, the lady to
with
my
the two
right.
People with
yes, you, the lady to my right. Looks at me like I've dropped a brick on her foot. The other lady physically jumps. Physically jumps.
Her?
Yes. And I really feel that now that I'm getting older and my emotions are bubbling closer to the top,
mm-hmm.
I never would have laughed out loud at a greeting card like that and scared this poor woman. But I did, and she did. And that's, you see, it's just what I'm really getting to, Katie, is I'm falling apart.
Well, I know, like, there was another, so other than the middle, there was one other time that you and I were actually talking on the phone, and you were, I could tell that you were having some issues.
Yeah, well, that was the Julia thing, right?
Yeah,
Yeah, when she's getting ready for her formal. Now, eighth grade dances are an important entree to what's going to happen. Now, even though the eighth grade dance, in theory, is going to be all the boys on this side of the room and all the girls on this side of the room, and they're going to stand, they're going to look at each other for 2 hours with a disc jockey, then they're all going to go home. This is the beginning of what will be, you know, the high school dance.
Well, and I mean, it really is kind of the social type send off of her leaving middle school.
It culminates with this.
You have the formal send off of like they've graduated.
There'll be
eighth
some
grade
sort of some sort of mock ceremony, but there's also this mock dance.
Right.
So the thing that was going to prevent her from going was a concert, and the concert was in Baltimore the week of the riots. And so the concert was indeed canceled because Baltimore was figuratively on fire. And so they didn't go. And so she last minute went out and got a dress and was going to go to the dance. And since no one has at this really, with some rare exceptions, they don't have dates. It was just a matter of going.
They would just like go as groups,
As a group of gals, right? So this
and
is.
And I think that's the best way to do it. No pressure. It's just fun.
As we said, this is like the training ground for going to a dance. So there wasn't, the pressure of having a date. And so I said, how do we do this? Do we just drop her off at school? And Carrie said, no, the Chubbucks, and we've talked about the wonderful Chubbuck family in the past, are hosting the girls to get ready, have a little dinner, and then all the girls will go over together. I said, okay, so we'll go and drop them at the Chubbucks.
Okay, so wait, so which one, would it have just been one of the Chubbuck girls that was going to the dance?
Or Jillian, did they have any? Jillian would be going. She's and the oldest daughter. Remember, there's the there's 75 children, but the key ones, there's college Chubbuck, high school Chubbuck, middle school Chubbuck and elementary Chubbuck. And middle school Chubbuck is Jillian. And she actually appeared on this show. Remember, she said she was something of a big deal.
Yeah, so I'm kind of a big deal.
So we thought that all that was going to happen is we're going to drop the kids off and then be done with it. Mm-hmm. So we go and Carrie says we should.
You really thought that was what?
I did.
Okay.
I did. Because again, this is my first eighth grade dance too.
Now, okay,
since I was in eighth grade.
When you and Carrie go to drop her off at the Chubbuck's house.
Right.
Is she like wearing her dress? Is she like, are they all ready to go?
She brought her dress, but wasn't changed into it yet. Cause for like,
so they were going to get ready together.
Yeah. Like for a 6:30 dance or whatever, we get there at like 4:00. Okay.
Okay.
And Carrie says, well, let's walk them in, walk her in. I said, okay, it'll be nice to see the Chubbucks, Rob and Kristen. And I go in and I say hi. And right away they say, would you like a drink? And I'll say, absolutely. So it's turned into something of a social event already. And that's when I begin to look around and see the Henry Ford like assembly line that Kristen has laid out. There's maybe 8 or 9 girls there. Some of them I know, some of them I don't. But the big table that sits in their kitchen area that's normally for dining has
that's a big table,
lights and makeup mirrors and cotton balls and Q-tips and all the stuff you need to make yourself beautiful. And as I look around, I see that there seems to be a makeup station and a nail station and a hair station, every one of them manned, you'll pardon the expression,
my God, she's thought of everything.
Yes. There is
of
a mom.
Course. It's Kristen Chubbuck.
Every mother, not Carrie or me, of course. We're not helping. We're helping drink, but that's it. Every other mom has like a task and they're taking care of it. And it's like, all right, do
so the
nails.
The other parents didn't just drop off either. The other parents were there.
Yeah, but keep in mind, Julia was sort of a last minute addition to this. It was, a week out, there was no confirmation that she'd be a part of it. So the other moms, like Bonnie or Susan, they knew their daughters were going to be there. So one of them is doing nails, one of them's doing hair, one of them's doing makeup, and they're doing all these. And the only thing I can think, it's like that scene in The Wizard of Oz.
And a couple of draws along. That's how we laugh a day away.
And it's like, okay, her hair is done. Switch. You go to nails. You go to makeup. You go to hair.
How we keep you young and fair in the merry old land of Oz.
This is perfect.
And it's with mathematical precision all of this is happening.
Now, who is directing traffic?
Who do you think?
Kristen Chevick.
Of course.
You even dye my eyes.
So here we go. Jolly Old Town.
Jolly Old Town.
So that's how that's going.
Oh, that sounds so fun.
Now,
were
here
the girls
was,
like into it? Were they having
course,
such a good time?
Having a blast. And here is my and texting.
When did you start sobbing?
I think they were texting each other. Just watching the whole thing go down, I was into it and a little bit emotional, but not sobbing until later. But before the sobbing began, what happened is they were fixing one of the girls' hair, and she had very long hair, beautiful hair, right? And they put it in like a ponytail with some sort of braid or something. I don't know. Some sort of magical Kristen Chubbuck hairdo. And she says, it looks very nice, but it needs a little something. And this girl had a blue dress, right? So
okay.
Kristen said, what we need is a navy blue ribbon to tie the ponytail. And she turned to her younger daughter, to Faith, and said, Faith, go downstairs to my ribbon table.
What?
And go downstairs to my ribbon table and get me a length of navy blue ribbon. And I'm still thinking.
And a couple of tra-la-las. That's how we laugh a day away in very old Angola.
Now, they've got a family room that sits off the kitchen. And by this point, Mr. Chubbuck and myself are seated there having a drink and watching all the stuff happen. But that stops me in my tracks. And I say, Kristen, did you just say go to the ribbon table? And she says, I have a ribbon table. And if this makes it on your podcast, I'm going to kill you. And I said, I wouldn't dare talk about it. And so here I am. I'm saying, Kristen, bring it. Bring it. You've got a ribbon table. And so
she has a ribbon table.
She goes down and she brings up the ribbon table and fixes everything. And yeah, and they send it off. And just when I think it can't get any more perfect for these girls,
That is so awesome.
They go out onto the deck to take pictures by themselves and, of course, together. And the girls look beautiful. Now, this is when I see Julia standing there and she looks like a grown up. And that's when the waterworks happen.
I stifle it, but it's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to ask, like, do you feel like as she went through that assembly line, like there was some sort of transformation?
Not a transformation, but it sure sort of underscored the fact that she's growing up. And
Man,
it's hard as a dad
pictures,
to look at.
Yeah. I got weepy and I'm showing them to Dan and Dan's like, are you crying? And I'm like, I am. I remember the first time I met Carrie brought her into the station.
Just wee and small.
When she was just a tiny little baby. And I mean, I was like, and she's going to high school.
I know. And it's tough and it's different. I don't know if it's just me, but I don't think it is. It's different for a dad, for a daughter and a son. The son, you're so proud to see grow up and mature and grow. And with your daughter, it's your little girl. And it's just something that's you gotta deal with it, but it's tough. So anyway, that was that. And I just thought that everything couldn't be any more perfect for the girls until the pictures started. And Kristen said, hold on, let me get the bubble machine.
Pardon me?
Bubble machine. Now, keep in mind, we've discussed in the fact that Kristen Chubbuck, who has become something of a legendary figure on this podcast.
Did she have the chocolate fountain out?
She did not bring out the chocolate fountain.
Well,
that's a winter thing.
Well, you don't want them to get anything on their dresses.
Of course not. But she did have a bubble machine. So not only do we have a professionally looking, it looked like Julia had been prepped by, you know, a professional artisan in makeup, hair, and everything. But then the photos begin with bubbles. And I'm just like, all right, there's no point in even trying to keep up with this family because they're that good. Now,
that's
the only
perfect,
problem
though.
Is.
I bet those photos turned out
gorgeous.
I know.
Gorgeous. But it's bad if your bubbles pop near your ribbon table because then you get sudsy ribbon.
Oh, no.
You hate that. You don't want
that.
So anyway, that was Julia growing up, and I'm emotional and not a wreck, though. And you know what? I think you misspoke. I don't think it's a midlife crisis.
I didn't accuse you. I just asked if that's what you think it is.
No, I just think it's the fact that the kids are growing up and I'm dealing with, if not mortality, certainly just the passage of time.
I mean, just in 4 years, she's going away to college.
Stop it.
What's
we can't
true?
Do this. We can't do this now. Give me 4 years, all right?
Jeez Louise.
All right. You know what we need to do? We really should go to the party.
I really think we need to go to a party.
Come on. You're invited too, folks. Let's all go to the party. You know, last week I rode an elevator with a despicable racist, and I tell you, he was wrong on so many levels.
So I asked my priest how they make holy water.
Yeah.
And he told me, you start with regular water, then you boil the hell out of it.
I got online this morning and changed my Facebook name to Nobody. So now I can click on stupid posts and it says, hey, nobody likes this. Scientists have discovered a food that diminishes a woman's sex drive by 90%.
Yeah, it's called wedding cake. You know, I was at the park the other day wondering why the Frisbee was getting bigger. And then it hit me.
So if you ever have trouble telling the difference between a porcupine and a Tesla, here's your clue. The porcupine has the pricks on the outside.
Did you know the secret to seducing a fat person isn't that hard?
Oh.
It's a piece of cake.
Oh! So I was buying a new suit and I asked my tailor, where does virgin wool come from? He said, really ugly sheep.
What if there were no hypothetical situations?
Yesterday I went and saw the world's fattest psychic. He called himself a four-chin teller.
So, you know, Rob, you think you're so smart.
Yeah.
You said an onion was the only food that makes you cry.
Yeah.
That's when I threw a coconut at your face.
You know, I used to date a dyslexic girl, and after our third date, she cooked my sock.
Speaking of which, scientists have successfully created a dyslexic agnostic insomniac. He lays awake all night pondering the existence of a dog. My definition of stalking. Stalking is two people taking a long romantic walk, but only one of them knows about it.
I truly didn't want to believe that my father was stealing from his job as a road worker, but when I got home, all the signs were there. All right, how many Alzheimer's patients does it take to screw in a light bulb?
I don't know, how many?
To get to the other side! That would have been a better party with a bubble machine.
Oh, they all would.
So do you have any big plans this summer?
No, I think, you know, obviously we want to get up to D.C. at least once, maybe twice more before Jill and the girls move out to San Francisco.
And summertime's the best time to come to D.C. Bring a sweater.
Right. Well, I mean, you got to think. People here keep like warning us about you haven't been here during the heat yet.
It can't be any worse than D.C.
I really don't think it's going to, because the humidity in D.C. is just so disgusting.
Horrible.
And don't get me wrong, it's humid here, but we do seem to have the kind of weather, it's a little more coastal where it gets so humid and then it storms and you're okay for the rest of the day.
Sure.
And D.C. doesn't do that.
No, well, that's what happens.
It just stays like a swamp.
They've built a city on a swamp. It's not great. That's the problem. If it gets, I can't imagine it getting much worse than here, but we'll see. Who knows if you get it, if it gets really, really hot, you can escape to the cool breezes of Washington, D.C.
Gross.
I know.
So we're so we have plans to head back up a couple times. My mom and my dad are coming down in August.
Bringing your stuffed animal.
Yes. I forgot. I texted you that.
It was
she
so
found
great.
The original Furby.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
I can't. I mean, she sent me. This is my mom is adorable. She sent me a text with a picture of him.
Right.
And the message said, hello, dear friend. It's been a long time.
I saw that and I said, well, first of all, what happens is, you know, when you get the text preview, it says, Katie Forbes von Herman. And all I see is, hello, dear friend. It's been a while. I said, well, we talked. Yes. What the hell text is this? And I open it up and say, she's drinking. And then I realized it was a screen capture from your mom.
I know. How cute was that?
That's awesome. So we look forward to that. We have some concert stuff to do, of course, with the girls. Do you know that we haven't even been to King's Dominion yet this year? The season pass remains unused. I know. It's crazy. It has a lot to do with, you know, it's been busy. Carrie's extraordinarily busy at work.
Right.
It's been busy on the O'Mara show, but not as busy as Carrie. But the kids have been occupied, so we need to find our way to KD and get the turkey leg. But I am pleased.
Heck yeah. I mean, who's going to... You got to get a turkey leg, Rob.
Got to. You know that almost mockingly this weekend, Jimmy Cerrito posted a picture of a turkey leg on his Facebook page, and he just went, "Hi, Rob," and it's like such an F you.
Was he at King's Dominion?
No, he was at Taste of Herndon, whatever the Herndon Festival is.
Oh, yeah, the Herndon Festival this past week. Right.
Had I known there'd be turkey legs, I would have driven up the road and grabbed myself.
Yeah.
Jimmy said it was better with wing sauce. Of course, he says the same thing about everything.
Right.
Says that about apple pie.
He's from Buffalo.
He is. I will say this. The one thing I am looking forward to this summer that has been laid down is I've been invited, believe it or not, to return to MC the Summer Pops concert for the Manassas Symphony.
Rob.
I know. They booed me.
They asked you back?
I don't know if it's because deep down they thought I did a good job or they want to...
Booed.
Maybe they want to give me a chance to redeem myself.
Do you think you can?
I know this. No political jokes. You do that, you automatically alienate half the crowd.
How about we go over your material together before?
I do think last time, within inches of having rotten cabbages hurled at me.
It didn't go well.
It did not go well. Although I love, you know, the maestro, Jim Villani. He's awesome. Wonderful and a great guy. Maybe he just feels sorry for me.
He's like, let's just give him another shot.
Come on.
We asked him last year. We have to ask him back.
I believe what must have happened is he approached whatever, the elder statesman of the symphony, and said, I think he was just having a bad day. Let's give him another chance.
Most of the people there were just for the ice cream.
I know they weren't there for me.
Right.
When you're introduced and you hear an audible, huh? Not good.
We'll review your material first this time.
We will, and we'll review my performance.
And we're going to, I think we should, and stick with your Henry Mancini jokes.
People love a Henry Mancini joke. Do you want to tell the one about...
Dead Aunt?
I think that's enough.
Yeah. I don't need to say anything more.
No, Google
it. Dead Aunt.
All right, folks. Stick around. When we come back, we'll entertain your questions, and hopefully you too. It's Cake and Cookies recorded out of order. Someday we'll explain that. Back after this. I did want to say thank you, by the way.
To whom?
To Yum. With all that discussion of my midlife crisis and you not once bringing up the fact that I'm wearing my glasses during this show.
It was hard. I'm not going to lie. I honestly gave it like a little bit of a hard don't say it to myself.
Well, can't go to the party if you can't read the jokes.
True story.
You're alive if you're keen. You're in with the onset. Keen 900 KEYNA.
You're in with the
you
onset.
Know what? You're alive and you're seeing.
Yes, I am. And we'll see if both those things are still happening at the end of this show. You're in with the onset, Katie. It must be nice. saying that horrible jingle. Yes. Oh, you know what? We must do this.
And now here's the cake man and the cookie mistress, Rob and Katie.
That's the least likely dude. Because sometimes we don't even play that one. Welcome back to the segment three. And if you're listening to all three, the segment three.
Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of got lost in my teeth there. Got a bad case of ingrown tongue. But we do appreciate it that you stuck around this long, if anyone's still there. In which we answer your letters in an effort for you to Rob, get to know us.
You know, don't diminish our show. People stick around. Remember I listened to the third?
Yes, some people said that.
A lot of people said that.
Do you believe them?
I do.
You have to listen to the third if you want to make an effort to get to know us.
Well, the getting best part of the show... Oh, you. Boy.
Getting to know all about you.
Some people would argue that the best part of the show is the Easter egg.
Some people would argue that. Some people would argue that the best part of the show sometimes is recorded and then the file is corrupted and it no longer exists.
Oops.
It happens. But you know what? This is exciting because we're not going to start with a letter.
W-A-B-C.
What? Because actually the letter reads from Merle Rogers. Dear Casey.
I love Merle.
And Loretta Tortelli. Who, of
I
course,
don't like her.
No, that's the crazy lady that Mrs. Kasem played.
She did wrong by Mr. Kasem.
Did Rob pick up the package for Katie at the post office? Katie, I did.
What?
I hold in my hand your present.
Oh, I got a present?
You got a present. Do you want me to open it? Or shall I just send it to you?
Hold on, I need to make you like full screen here.
Oh, no. I don't know. Is America ready for that?
Oh, I'm ready.
This is addressed to Katie Von Herman, P.O. Box 2796, Leesburg, Virginia, 20177. Let's see what it is.
No, be careful with those scissors. Don't go cutting into the present of the package.
Oh, no. It was a Mylar balloon. No, I'm kidding. It is from Kohl's. Ah.
Okay.
It is a Sonoma Lifestyle apron. It is an apron, and I'm going to now open it up so we can see what's on the apron.
I can see it. I love aprons, by the way. I have an apron collection, and that is so up my alley.
It's great. It has a saying on it. It says,
oh, wait.
Can you read it?
Hold on. You have to open it up all the way. Hold it down just a little bit. Start with coffee, end with wine. I love it.
That is your apron,
That's
my dear.
That's what I say about the show.
Yes, exactly. But anyway.
That's perfect. I'm going to start wearing that for the shows. I'm not even remotely kidding.
Okay.
But you have to send it to me.
I will. I will mail it to you. Now here's the deal. Will you wear that with the heating pad?
Well, yeah. I got to keep my jaw like nice and loose. I had, because people don't know, I got some more of my like shots and stuff moved around and everything last week. So I'm a little tender.
But you're doing fine. You're playing with pain.
I am.
Merle, thank you for the apron. Now Katie has an entire outfit for the show. She'll look like a combination between Khaleesi on Game of Thrones and Mrs. Cleaver from Leave It to Beaver.
I don't think Mrs. Cleaver would approve of that saying.
No. Oh, I don't know. She might.
You don't think she tipped one back?
Oh, she loved to drink when Ward wasn't looking.
I don't think so. Well, although if you were the mother of the beeve,
yes, yeah,
you might be tipping one back.
I'm going to go ahead and issue this. I'm not saying he was a Jimmy Dodd quality one, but the beaver, he was a dick.
Well, he wasn't.
He wasn't cool.
He wasn't Eddie Haskell.
No, but he wasn't cool like Wally. I'll tell you that. Anyway, thank you, Marl.
Wally was a good boy.
Yes,
and handsome.
Yes, and I believe now no longer with us.
Oh,
the late Tony Dow. Thank you. I don't know why I'm saying thank you. That's really not appropriate, is it? Here is an email that came not to our Facebook page, but directly to me at rob@mikeomaraShow.com. No, actually, it came to rob@robspiewak.com.
Oh, okay.
My junkiest of junk email addresses, and
but you still apparently check it.
I do occasionally, sure, because maybe something's going to good be there. What? Maybe something good will be there. It comes from Rick, and Rick writes, you know what? Did you just see what happened? My glasses got hooked on my mic boom. This is the
I'll be honest, I didn't see it.
Okay,
but that's because I was watching like the reflection of everything that's in your.
I will now recreate what just happened. The shock mount of my microphone allows it to hang.
Spider mount.
It allows it to hang, and it can wiggle around with almost no noise.
I have to get one of those. Like this, I'm having to hold you know what? I'm going there because, you know, this has been bothering me for
weeks now. It's time we discuss it.
I am being, and people were complaining about it last week.
What?
My microphone. I have a great microphone. Everything is fantastic, but my desk sucks. So I can't, I have this little microphone.
It's a microphone stand. Yeah.
It's a desktop microphone stand. And in order for me to be able to get right up on the mic, as one is wont to do,
that's what we require.
I have to lean halfway over the desk.
No good.
No good. So I got to get like either a boom mic stand or
a taller desk stand,
a desk mount mic stand. Something has to change.
But if you get it, make sure you don't get one with a complicated shock mount that is a sort of a series of rubber bands and metal caging so that when you lift your head up,
oh my God, grabs your glasses. You can like take your eye out.
Tell me about it. You might be in pain, but I'm constantly cheating death just by doing this radio show.
The thing that kills me the most is I can see over your right shoulder.
Yes.
There's a boom mic stand right there.
Yeah.
Behind the gong.
Yeah. It's one I don't even use.
Hey.
It's an extra.
Would you bang a gong for me? Just once.
You're in with the onset. You're alive if you're keen. This week's show features a particularly Asian flavor.
So I love your okay, here's the thing.
Yes.
You have like an adult house.
Meaning there's a lot of nudity and smoking.
Right. So moving into this house down here, I've discovered a couple of things. I've discovered what I truly believe is like the sign of luxury.
Which is? Yes.
It's embarrassing for me to say this.
No, it's fine.
I truly believe the sign for me, the ultimate luxury, is having a refrigerator where water and ice comes out the front.
It's pretty nice, isn't it? Chilled water, ready to go.
I've never had one.
Never?
No.
Wow, it's pretty great.
I can't even tell. Like having, it's just every time I do it, it goes through my head. Luxury.
I think it's nice that you're growing. You know what? That all of America is able to click on this podcast and watch their little girl grow up. There's inside running water.
I could take you like a step further where I realize like the true sign of being a grown-up is having matching furniture.
Yes, that's true.
I think it's so true.
It really is.
So Dan and I had this like really nice sort of side table, mm-hmm. but we just had one. Because
like an end table.
What?
Like an end table.
Yeah, but it's taller than an end table. It actually is probably about 3.5 feet tall.
Okay, so it's the height of a sofa table.
Okay, so perhaps it's a sofa table.
Okay.
It's not a console table because it's just a round, it's a little round guy.
So then it's not a sofa table because a sofa table would be longer and rectangular to go behind
right.
a sofa.
But it's not. It's round and it's about, you know what? Maybe it's about 3 feet tall. It's taller than an end table.
But shorter than you.
It's labeled side table.
All right. That's fine.
So we've only had one.
Yes.
You can hear that, can't you?
A little bit, but I wasn't going to make any comment about it. It's fine. It's not like you're in Abbey Road Studios. You're in a fully functioning grown-up house, and there's going to be sounds.
Right.
Dogs.
So, and we had ordered it from Amazon. It's a really nice little table, but it wasn't expensive.
Okay.
But it's just fantastic. So I went on Amazon, and I found a second one. And
yes,
a coffee table to match.
You are a grown up. You're becoming a grown up.
I feel like I just like in one Amazon order, I grew up. Now
isn't that
all
amazing?
I have to do is put it together.
The amazing thing is people say, what can you get on Amazon? I say anything, including your adulthood.
Truth. And you know what else?
What's that?
I went through the Mike O'Mara Amazon link.
Well, of course you did.
Well, I have a bookmark.
Because you're smart.
True story.
She's smart. Rick writes, Rob, first, you and Katie are magic. Well, thank Christ someone finally said it.
I I've been thinking it all along.
I keep writing it over and over again in my composition book, hoping someone will pick up on it. Second, will Cake and Cookies get back to a stable once a week schedule soon? Just asking. Keep up the outstanding work. Rick Drace. Yes, yes, yes.
Rick, definitely yes.
But you have to know, it's not that we're slacking. It's just we've had several unforeseen things happen. Katie's move, me having pneumonia. There's been a lot of things in flux. We've got things settled down. Actually,
we the last show, we recorded it almost like 5 days before we released it.
Yeah, before we dropped it. That's right.
Because we knew that I was going to be having like a jaw procedure.
So we wanted to kind of
stretch it out.
Exactly. So yeah, we were going to get
like SpaghettiOs in a can of water.
Exactly. Extra water in your tomato soup. The tomato soup is a little translucent tonight. But yeah.
But we gave you 2 hours.
It was a definite thirsty episode. And yeah, we hope you enjoyed it. We will fall into a schedule, but as our lives are sort of adjusting to the new normal, that's what's going to happen. We need to figure out where we stand. Dear Casey, do you remember the You Were Gone song from Hee Haw? My daughter loves it and cracks up every time I play it for her on YouTube.
So my brother and I grew up right around the corner from my grandparents.
Okay.
Okay, so I remember there were certain shows that we always watched with my mamaw and papaw.
Okay.
To the point, like, we would make sure that even on school nights, we spent the night with them.
You had to watch them.
We would just watch these shows together. And I remember Dallas.
Your story is odd that a kid would be watching Dallas, but I will make it even weirder when I say Dallas, CBS, Friday nights, 9 p.m.
Exactly.
Right.
Lawrence Welk show.
At my grandparents' house, too, I think 8 o'clock, syndicated, though. It was usually a Saturday thing, syndicated, check your local listings.
What was the solid, what were the Solid Gold Dancers?
They were on Solid Gold.
Okay, Solid, okay, them.
Because when
that.
The Solid Gold Dancers auditioned for Solid Gold, they said, it seems like such a natural. We should hire these guys.
Dynasty.
That seems to me it was a Wednesday show. I don't know. I didn't watch Dynasty.
That's very possible. Hee Haw.
Also syndicated. Great show.
And Falcon Crest. Because that's such a 7-year-old show.
Wow. An adult PM soap opera about, was it about wine? Did they make wine at Falcon Crest?
I don't know.
Well, you watched it.
I just remember they had fabulous hair.
All right, back to Hee Haw. He mentions a song that I actually had in my iTunes.
You took all your clothes, the things that I gave you, your dresses and hats and the shoes on your feet. If you hadn't taken the things that I bought you, you'd sure look silly out there on the street.
Where are you tonight?
Why did you leave me here all alone? I searched the world over and I thought I'd found true love. You met another and you was gone.
You know, we mentioned Hee Haw last week because I said it's a great show to watch when you're drunk.
Mm-hmm.
But also we mentioned the abandoned haunted cabin where they would make Roy Clark play music. And also, I liked it when the fence board would come up and hit someone in the ass. I thought that was always a great gag.
It was wine.
It was wine? It was wine that made me like Hee Haw, or it was wine on Falcon Crest? Or both?
Falcon Crest had wine.
Oh, okay. That's what I thought.
Yes.
This one reads, Dear Casey, this is from Rob Reif. I think it's Reif. Dear Casey, if you were a member of the Peanuts gang, which member would you be?
Oh, you go first.
I'd be Snoopy.
Damn you, Rob!
But I think we know that's not true.
I don't think that's true.
I think that I would be Linus.
You might be Charlie Brown.
Oh, that's tough, man. Don't do that to me. But you're right.
I think I'm right.
Yeah, like, and you know what? Now more than ever.
Maybe
10 years ago.
I didn't want to say it like right off the top of my head.
I know.
No pun intended. But
bald, big round head, just totally screwed up with emotional issues. That's me.
All you're missing is a t-shirt. I think I would be, I mean, I could say Snoopy, but I don't think that's the case. I think part of me thinks I would be Sally.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other part of me thinks I'd be Peppermint Patty.
I
right,
see
Chuck?
That. Hey, Chuck.
Hey, Chuck.
Hey, I'm bringing Marcy over, Chuck. She's a cool kid. That's okay, isn't it, Chuck? And then you know what? If you are Peppermint Patty, then that sort of explains our relationship where you boss me around.
Either that, or if I'm Sally, then I am your little sister.
That makes sense, too.
Right. When I do think that I am probably more Sally than Peppermint Patty.
Carrie is Lucy. She admits it. It's her one of her heroes, Lucy Van Pelt.
I kind of get that.
Yeah, I do too. All the
time. I always loved Lucy, but I could never be Lucy.
No, it's too tough to be Lucy. And by the way, thank you to Marco Pareda, who sent you the pictures of the pups. Two great smiling beagles.
Was it Roxy and Ruby?
Let me see.
What are their names?
Roxy and Ruby, yes. They're smiling like crazy.
Oh my God, I love them.
They're great dogs. Chris Hutton writes, Dear Casey, who would you cast in the inevitable Murder, She Wrote movie? Well, it's obvious to me. I'd like to know your answer, but I know what I think is the right answer.
I think it would be me.
You think?
As Jessica Fletcher?
Yeah. Well, not as Amos Tupper, certainly.
Well, no, but who else could do it?
Well, I think it's pretty obvious. Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Getting to know you. Getting to know all about you.
I think it would probably take the television series closer to the books.
Hey, you know what would be great? How about it would be her, and then she could do like an undercover thing at a massage parlor.
That was a good show, Rob.
The massage parlor show with Jennifer Love Hewitt?
The client list.
Yeah. Thank you for remembering it. I didn't know the title.
Of course I remember it.
I just called it Jennifer Love Hewitt Massage Parlor Show.
Dan and I would like watch it together and be like, man, this is so bad, but it looks so good.
Yeah, good looking show. This is another good one. This is also from Rob Reif. He writes, Dear Casey, if you were wearing an I'm with Stupid shirt, who would Stupid be?
Rob.
Of course. You wear the shirt and I'm Stupid. And you know
right.
why? Because it didn't come in my size. That's why. Let's see. Marco Pareda writes, If you could star in any Broadway production, which one would it be and what role? For me, it's very quick. I can answer this very quickly. Fiddler on the Roof, I would love to play Tevye. It doesn't require a great dancer. It doesn't require a great singer. It requires a certain flair for overacting, and I can bring that. And great score, too.
I think I've already played it once.
Yes.
And I would do it again in a heartbeat. It was actually a long one-act version of the play Steel Magnolias.
Okay.
And I played Clary.
Who was that in the movie?
Olympia Dukakis.
Oh, good role.
And I felt that role. I honestly, my grandmother had passed a few years before I played it. And I really felt like, you know, I was just sort of channeling my mama.
Mm-hmm. That's
and
neat.
That is a role I would do just about anything to play it again in its full-blown
production.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Absolutely.
And you know
what? It was so cool to do it. And I think one of the best compliments I ever got from being on stage came from the director's father had come in from I guess, Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to me, you came out on that stage looking like you were 12, acting like you were 70, and I believed every minute of it.
Oh, that's great. That's
and
fantastic.
I will forever hold on to that.
That's cool. Sometimes people tell me I look like I'm 70.
If I look like I need a shot, send me to a plastic surgeon.
Exactly. Now, I'm one more question. We have time for one more, and I'd like to entertain this one if it's okay by you. And
sure.
This comes from one of our favorite guys, Mike, or as he is known on Fabu, as Lev Nedkoff, who, by the way, got a brand new computer this week. Congratulations. And he writes, maybe I am one day late, but I do have a question. If you are Cake and you are Cookie, what are Carrie and Dan? Well, it's obvious. The luckiest people on the face of the earth.
True story.
That's what they are.
True. What are Dan and Carrie?
Yeah.
They're probably napping.
Bingo! I've never seen pastry be asleep before. It happens.
They're
so that's certainly what they are. That's the name of that tune, as Robert Blake would say. So that wraps up another one. Thank you for listening. We do appreciate it. We'll be back next week and hopefully back on the weekly basis. How's your face?
My face is fine.
Good. You did a great job. Thank you for playing in pain today.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
It was super fun.
It was, especially when we got to sit here and look at your face. Appreciate it, folks. We'll be back again. We'll do it again next week. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Oscar. Thank you, Tony Bloom. And thank you for listening. Thank you, Katie.
Thank you, Robbie.
We will talk to you next week. So long, everybody.
Toodaloo.
Not affecting the outcome of today's game may have been edited prior to today's broadcast. Cake and Cookies, The Rob and Katie Show. This is Dude Walker speaking. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
1 note, I found all my cookbooks this morning.
Oh, that's good. So you guys can finally have something to eat.
They are chewed up, for lack of a better word.
What happened? Like a rat?
Maybe. I don't know how a rat could do that much. Like,
well, I would think that of all the books, cookbooks would be the tastiest books.
Mm-hmm. And I found like a couple of like loose nuts, like almonds and stuff in there.
Maybe a wacky vegan got in. And destroyed your cookbooks.
A vegan rat.
The worst kind.
The worst kind.
I think the rumor is that a rat can pass through the hole the size of a dime. Especially vegan rats. Doesn't that sound like a neighborhood in Dusseldorf? Where do you live? I live in vegan rats.
So I am medicated. I have both a muscle relaxer and a pain pill in me.
That's fine.
I don't feel wonky or
right.
anything.
Right. Well, a lot of times when you're actually in pain and you take pain meds, they help. It's when you're not in pain and you take them that it does the other stuff.
So I found some stamps so I can make the thank you cards, or I can send my thank you cards.
Oh, I thought for a second you meant like stamps, like you're going to do like a thing, like an arts and crafts.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm not that crafty. I'm a little crafty, but I'm not that.
Well, I know that you get around.
I get around. Oh, hey, Rob.
Yes?
I think my pain pill, like, kicked in.
How do you know this?
She got real slow.
And you sure it's not your internet?
Oh.
So
I mean, I guess it could be. So I'll try to be on top of things. And my mouth just got real dry.
Would this be the time that I should start talking like this?
This would not be the time to start doing that.
Just to mess with you a little bit?
Mm-mm.
Don't worry, I'm sure we'll be... show a little bit. What if I just took a long pause and I said, are you going to answer the question or not?
That's not a good idea.